Calvary. We've been studying this, and we've come to chapter 4, and we spent a lot of our time in the beginning of the chapter to just really try to let you know that there is a better rest prepared for the saint. And Brother Gall's been here talking much about mission work, and we just finished our missions month. But again, for all of us, this chapter here is going to have some key things, and it's constantly referring to rest. But it's going to have two parts, and he's talking about a better rest that's prepared for the saint. But if we're going to have rest here on this side, both of those show up in the chapter. And although when we read chapter 4 and verse 12, we don't think about that verse as being something that is restful, but the Bible brings us rest, the Word of God itself. And even for us, when we think about when we need surgery, it means we've got problems. We have things going on in our body and in our lives that need to be cut out. The only way, we're in bad pain, we're in bad way. How many of you have ever had a bad tooth and you need to have it taken out? You didn't care what they did, whether they went in there with pliers or what they took that thing out of there with, you wanted it out. You wanted it taken care of because you needed ease of that. And for a lot of us, we don't always know. We know where it hurts. We don't know how to do the surgery. But the Word of God, again, we're going to be reminded that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's powerful when we start thinking about that the thing that is going to work on us is alive, that it knows how to discern, and it also knows how to cut. It doesn't just cut one way. It cuts both ways. It's two-edged. And so it helps us to understand this, but for most of us, sometimes to have rest in this life, we've got to have foundational things. We've got to be, I'll just say it like this, we have to have some surgery that takes place in our lives to allow us to have that. Once we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, rest is being prepared. I want you to see some things in the chapter from this angle, and I will dive into teaching almost where we were in chapter 4, verse 12. But look at verse 1 of chapter. He says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word." If you didn't underline that the last time you were there, it says, "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith, them that heard it." Not mixed with faith in them that heard it. For all of us, the Word of God has to get in us, it has to penetrate us, and it has to be mixed with faith. We spoke much about mixing faith in our lives and finding rest with that, and we spent a lot of time, so I don't want to go back, but I wanted you to see that the entire chapter, under the inspiration of God, didn't leave out. It's not like sometimes if you read the chapter or where we're going to begin, it seems like the writer wasn't planning on getting to the Word of God. But we find that he references the Old Testament Hebrews who were, again, wandering in the wilderness and not entering into rest because they didn't listen to the words of God. God made promises. God made predictions. God told them to go forward. And when they had the spies return, instead of believing God, they believed an evil report and they turned back into the wilderness. Now, God didn't take that sword out and slay them right there. But he was surely disappointed. And for all of us, we've already been through that teaching. But I want you to see, he comes through this and he's going to deal with the unbelief and all the things. Look at verse 7. "And again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Again, he's speaking to them and he's saying, so what needs to be cut on? What has gotten hard? It's not the outer man necessarily. Sometimes we always look on the flesh, but God looks on the heart. He looks on the inner part of the man, and the work that the surgical tool of the Word of God can work on the outside, it can work on the inside, and it can discern even the thoughts and the intents of a hardened heart, according to the Word of God. For many of us, we get it right on the outside. Sometimes even on the inside, we'll get it right with God, but we want to move on without dealing with our hard heart. We don't allow the Word of God to deal with us in a hard-hearted person who just says, okay, I'm caught, you got me, I'm dead to rights. Sometimes they just want to move on. Because they've, you know, they come, they've confessed, but again, you're going to move on with a hardened heart. You don't let the Word of God do the surgery that needs to be done to fix your heart. Guess what? If you don't do that, you'll be right back in the fix you were in before. So the Word of God comes full circle, and it says in verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. They went through this hardened heart time, and there's still a rest prepared for them. For he that is entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own work, as God did for us. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. All of this is foundationally understanding that inside of every man, the Word of God has to do surgery and help us be able to get to the place that we are mixed with our faith, all right? The Word of God has to mix, that Word has to mix and become faith inside of us. It is not until, listen, I've said it over and over again, you can't ever, if this was a piece of chicken, you could never pick it down to the bone. You could never pick it clean. You could day after day after day, and all you're ever going to find is a truth being stacked upon a truth. You're only going to ever take a truth, and it's going to connect to another truth. And all of a sudden, it's going to continue to mix inside of you and build you up in your most holy faith. There's not a thing in the Bible that's going to hurt you. It's only going to help you. And again, you may say, well, I don't believe, you know, one surgery is good enough for everybody. Yeah, that'd be great if you cut it out and there was never, ever going to be sin again. Things could get hard and then things get softer, gets cut out, the callous parts of your heart. But it'd be great if you never calloused your heart up again. But how many people are in this room that got saved that were sinners have never sinned again? Not one of you. You're all sinners. Even the one preaching tonight. And for all of us, don't you say amen, Richard. Anyway, so for all of us, we have to understand tonight that the Word of God is something that it's a tool that we constantly need working on us. And the greatest thing is it is alive. In our day, it's easier for us to kind of understand that from heaven, the Word of God is Jesus Christ. The verse itself is going to speak to how alive it is. And if you can understand and think about it this way, the Lord Jesus in heaven as our intercessor, when we open his word, can come alive like it's a machine. And even though the doctor's not there, he's in and he's controlling the machine and doing work and surgery on you every time you're willing to sit down and have an appointment and let it do business with you. For me and you, sometimes we think that, you know, again, you say, well, why do they use those machines? Why do they use that? Because it is a surgery, it's precision. It can do work and see things that we couldn't even see. Sometimes it doesn't always come up on the imaging, but that machine can get in there. And again, even the delicateness of the Word of God, it wants to tell us how it can work. So let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest. Is it labor intensive to read the Word of God? Yes. Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of work is to turn a page. For most of us, we get into the place in our lives where we don't think about it. We wouldn't call it work or call it labor. The Bible is not talking about working your way to heaven. The Bible is talking about studying to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How would you ever know how to divide the word of truth if you haven't had truth divided inside of you? It's got to be in you to come out of you. And the Bible says it's a divider. It talks about, I don't want to fall under the same example. How am I going to learn if about not tripping up at the same things other people tripped up? I need truth. I need to read in the Bible. And this whole chapter outlines people who failed God, who fell short, who didn't do what they were supposed to do, and I can learn from their example. I don't have to come short of entering into the rest. I don't have to fail at not doing those things. Look at chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Do you understand what the Bible says there? It makes a direct reference and continues on, and it lets us know that the Bible is the Word of God and that the Word of God is Jesus Christ. It says it's not manifest. It doesn't call it in the Word's sight. It says in His sight. And then Him is identified in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. It's going to identify the Word of God as the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm making sure that everybody's got a clue that this His in His sight is Jesus Christ. Opening this book is like a two-way mirror. For you and I, it shines, and it's a mirror that shines in me who I truly am, not the person I think I am, but on the other side of the mirror, staring back at me and looking through, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Always looking and looking at my heart, looking at what's going on in my life, and always taking care of me if I pray and ask Him to help me. We have to come to the place where we understand the word quick. I know I'm going to be several weeks on this probably, but I hope not. Quick, the word quick itself, we think about it as being fast, a fast runner. The Word of God don't run anywhere. You can't read the book very fast. The word quick in the 1828 dictionary is defined as to live. All right, it means to live. Go on to breathe. To be among the living. It's trying to tell us, it's not telling you that you can read the Bible fast or that it always acts fast inside the person. It's trying to tell you that this book is alive. Let me tell you, if you're a big Greekothogian, you're reading the wrong book. It's Hebrews, okay? All right, it's not Greek, it's Hebrew. But even if we were to run the letters down and see what it is, this same word is translated 117 times inside of the Word of God, live. 9 times to be or be alive. 6 times the same word is translated alive. And 4 times in the Word of God is translated quick. So over and over again, would live, we can read it, is live. It doesn't fit. The King James translators got it right. In the age, everyone that read this book knew that the word quick meant to live, to be alive. We don't use that word that way anymore, but it doesn't mean that it still doesn't reference and it's defined that this book is alive. When it says that you are quickened from your trespasses and sin, does it mean that it happened to you quick, or does it mean that you were made alive unto God? That which was once dead and died in the garden when man sinned was made alive unto God. Quick in this scripture is always referencing to live. For all of us, we ought to check the mark, understand the box. The word powerful, we don't use the word powerful. This word shows up 3 times in Scripture. It's referenced 1 time and translated 1 time powerful. The other 2 times, it is translated effectual. This word effectual and powerful, you know what the definition is? The definition of effectual in the 1820, producing an effect, all right, look at this, the effect desired, intended, having an adequate power to force, to produce the effect. How about this? Powerful, defined in the 1828 dictionary, having great moral power. The word we think is powerful, we think of it as He-Man, the Hulk, powerful. That's not what the word means, having great moral power. The word, what else on planet Earth has more moral power than the Word of God? Not one thing. When you think about this book and morality in general, where did it come from? Where was it produced? It was produced from the Word of God. We have to understand it's quick, it's powerful. The truth of the Word of God is penetrating. We have to understand it. It's sharp. The word sharp here is just letting us know that it can pierce, even sharper than any two-edged sword. The word back and forth, the word edged, in many languages, they translate the word mouth. Because everything, the idea there is this sword, anything that gets in its way, it consumes. It can cut. For all of us, we have to understand, sharper than any two-edged sword. For the English speaker, edge is what we need to see, because we understand it doesn't matter which way. There's not a dull side to this sword. It is sharp. It's so sharp that it got a cutting edge on every side of it. For every one of us, we have to come to the understanding that when we're describing the Word of God, it's helping us. It's dividing asunder. It helps us understand here. It's going to deal with all parts of man. Look at the word. It says, and dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the two parts of the inner man, all right, that are going to eternally be around. The Bible can deal with the spiritual inner part that is eternal inside of man to the place where it can separate. By the way, God is the only one that can separate the soul and the spirit, especially one that's been quickened. We could run the references tonight. We have Ecclesiastes lays out that man is body, soul, and spirit. And that what happens to the body, at the end of this life, the soul will go to wherever you chose it to go. Whether you chose Jesus Christ and accepted him for heaven, or whether you reject Jesus Christ and you go to hell, the soul will go where you determine and you asked Jesus, or whether you rejected him, it'll spend eternity wherever it's paid for. You'll either go and pay your debt in hell, or you'll have stamped on your soul, paid in full by Jesus Christ. The spirit, again, will go and return to God who gave it. That is that life force, breath, what makes us alive. It binds us together. But really, for all of us, it's also like an antenna, because the spirit's quickened at the time of salvation. That part of us that was dead and was not in tune with the Holy God was made alive when we got saved. And then the body, the joints and the marrow. Where does the Bible say the life of the body is? It's in the blood. Where is blood produced? In the innermost part of your body, inside of your bones. You know, when you say, I feel it in my bones, you're saying, I feel it in my marrow. It's the place your blood is made and comes out and keeps your body all alive. So the Bible says it can be cut. It doesn't just cut all the pieces of the spirit and the inner man, but it can separate and clean up the flesh as well, all the way down to the inner part of the bone. And then it finishes with that thought. It says, and is a discerner. Discerner, that even means a separator. But when you're cutting thoughts, you don't need a sword. You need someone to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Listen, I don't know where you're at tonight, but if you're here and you're not saved, the Word of God can help you by, again, helping you. It can divide the soul and the spirit. But I would want to make sure tonight, if I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior, I would want to make sure that my soul spent eternity in heaven and not in a devil's hell. And we can take the Bible and show you how you can know that for sure, how you can accept Jesus as your Savior. But if you're here tonight, and I'll just say this, the Word of God, we talked about this last week, but I'll just say this again, it's been a while since you let it do surgery on you. Maybe you ought to just talk to God about it and say, God, I really need your help to be in the Word of God every day. I need surgery. I need you to work on me through your Word. Help me to be in your book on a daily basis. Thing. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I need that. Are your thoughts right all the time? Is your heart right all the time? Then you need the Word of God. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, the Word of God is alive. It can work and help you tonight. If you're here tonight, that book that is alive can show you how you can live forever by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not forever in the flesh, but live eternally with Jesus Christ in heaven. It's a spiritual life. tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ, we invite you to step out during the invitation and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here tonight and you're one of God's people, and maybe it's been a while since you've been to the doctor and let the Word of God work on you, why don't you come and speak to God about it tonight as we stand to our feet and Brother Bert sings, if you need to be saved, would you meet me in the front as he sings?
I have decided.